sports performance psychologist Dr. Eddie O'Connor. How do we get these crazy parents under control? Welcome to the Sports Project.
Hey, good morning, Steve. It's great to talk to you again.
You know, I say that because I was a parent of an athlete, yeah. And you were a parent of athletes. And so on some level, I'm guilty. I don't know about you. It's different when I tell people all the time, when you got skin in the game, especially when it's blood, you act differently than when you're just a fan of your team. And you just put out some really cool information on this whole subject of parents involved in their kids' sports lives. Frame it for us. Give us your perspective and what are some tips, maybe.
Yeah, you know, thanks for starting off that way, because you're exactly right. Like, when I was young, I would give this parent presentation from my pedestal and preach on all the best behaviors and the best guidelines. And then I had kids, and I'd start off the presentations with, I'm sorry, this is a lot harder than I was saying for the last, you know, 5-10 years. And I've also learned that no matter how quote-unquote crazy the parent is, it's mostly like 99% really driven. Not that the parent's bad or wrong, but this passion that they have both for their son or daughter and the sport itself. And they are so driven to want to do things well. But sport parenting is not common sense. And so I'm glad to take the opportunity. I've got two strategies for athletes, two strategies for parents to make this a better experience for all.
Well, the problem is, it isn't about being fanatical, because that's what fans are, right? I mean, you get fanatical, but it's about the effect that it has on this kid, father, right, or daughter or son, athlete, when they're by themselves and then having to process all this junk and pressure and comments and hating the coach that they get from their parents. So go ahead and let's start to break it down a little bit and see what kind of advice you can offer to people.
Sure. Well, to start off for athletes, one of the big anxiety things they come in with is that they don't want to let people down, don't want to let their parents down. And that makes sense. Nobody does. But for the athletes, I want you to understand that when your parents are disappointed when you lose or when you make a mistake, because, you know, you miss a goal, everybody, the whole crowd goes, oh, right? We all see that. Starting from Pee Wee League, we start training them that outcomes matter. But I want the athletes to know that, you know, we're taking this journey with you, and we're not disappointed in you. We're disappointed for you, because we know that you care about your mistakes. We know that you care about the outcome of the game. We know that you are going to be upset. And because we love you, when we express our disappointment, oh, yeah, as a fan, a little bit, you know, of course, we're cheering, but we'll be fine. Like, we'll be fine if you miss a goal or something like that. But we have much more concern about how you're feeling, and we have empathy. And so, again, I want to get that point across, that when you see disappointment in your parents' faces, that you understand that they're not disappointed in you. It's just for you.
Man, it's easier said than done. I think the parents, what I've seen that's been successful is the kid having that talk with the parent about some, I don't want to call them ground rules, but they really sort of are. Like, after the game, if I'm riding with you, I really don't want to talk about it right now. And, you know, and it's okay. I've got my issues. If I have a problem with the coach, I'll deal with my coach. I'm good. Most of these kids are good with the coach when the parents are going off on the coach about playing time or strategies or this or that. And I think these athletes have to have that talk back with their parents, and it doesn't have to be a long one, right?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Like, you're hitting a great thing. The number one complaint that athletes always have is the car ride home after a game. They dread it. Like, I bring this up at presentations, the whole auditorium goes, oh. Because they just can't stand it. They know what's going to come in. They're going to get grilled. They're going to get questioned. And they do want that quiet time. So you're right. One of the best things for parents is, hey, continue to let the kids own their sport. You know, we don't really do this and get on their case about how they're doing in math class. You know, I mean, we encourage them and want them to do well, but we don't pick apart the teacher's methods and each test question. You really do want to let them own it. I love the way that you put it, Steve. That's really good. And you let them lead it. They will talk to you if they want to. And having an open conversation about what's the best way that I can support you, it's a wonderful question to ask. But one more thing for the athletes before we kind of dive more to the parents, though, is they often feel like, too, that especially club sport athletes, gosh, my parents have spent so much money, so much time, so much travel. I have to do well to pay them back. And I want to get this message across really, you know, strong to kids, too. In any sport or in any activity where parents are investing, we're investing in your future and your development and in your growth. And we're happy to spend that money. So please don't feel like you have to pay us back with performances or straight A's or scholarships. Chances of getting a scholarship are very small. And we're investing in your experience this season. Now, what we do expect is hard work. Like, don't play with a recreational attitude if you're in, you know, a club sport that's costing a couple thousand dollars. Like, we'll have that agreement as well. But beyond the effort and attention that we want you to pay, you do not have to reward your parents with performance.
Interesting. And I think one of the rules that a kid should own, too, is if the parents have a problem with the coach, it's not their problem. Empower the athlete to go talk to the relationships with the player and the coach. And it's a playing relationship. It's not as personal as the parent son or daughter relationship. It's about the sport and about that season, and empower the kid to have the guts to go talk to the coach and talk some things through. Coaches love when players come and talk to them because it takes some guts, and they respect the player more, and it'll be beneficial to the player if you go talk to your coach.
I agree.
And have your parent go talk to the coach.
Yeah, it's the training that's involved in that too. We're raising kids to be adults, and you know, sport is a wonderful way to get that training in there about, like, well, how are they going to address their college professors in the future? How are they going to address their boss when they get, you know, to be an adult? Is the parent still going to run in there when they're 28 years old into the company and say that they want a promotion? So really, like, when do you do that transition? And sport, youth sport is the perfect place to do it. And you're right. It's because the coaches do like that. And then they can communicate directly and tell there is very often a reason that people aren't starting. Like, there are only so many slots. And we want the athletes to be able to learn the humility of, and the ability that they have to work harder if they're not getting it for some reason. Now, I know that there's politics and favoritism. That stuff goes on in the world. But the best thing that you can do is be so good that they can't sit you. So
you
can learn that out of it. And the only way to do that is for the athletes to have that conversation and again, own their sport.
Recently, I saw a coach admit it. We all play favorites. Play favorites of the kids who kill it in practice and earn their playing time. And they're our favorites when we announce our starting five and our top two subs. And I thought that was owning it. I thought that was pretty powerful, because most people who do that, like if a player has an AAU coach that's in his ear, and then he has a parent that's in its ear, then you get two or three sets of parents going, you should be playing. They don't know. They don't have a clue what's going on at practice. And where practice is where decisions are made for the coach to play people. And so, man, it's the whole thing revolves around everybody caring, and maybe caring to a fault, right? And it's passion that overflows into danger zone.
Well, and that's a beautiful segue into then some advice. And what do you actually say as a parent? Because you're right, we are super emotional. We love our kids. We love winning. So we really love it when our kids win. And when we want to cheer at the games, I'm not saying not to do that. But after the game, regardless of a win and loss, it's really important for a parent to treat their child the same. Because if you're treating them with, you know, all this joy and excitement, extra hugs and kisses, and let's go get ice cream when you win, and then you're down and you're quiet and it's tense in the car and you skip, you know, the treat after a loss, you're teaching, you know, you're showing a differential love. And I know you love your kid the same, you just feel different, but you're communicating something different to the child, and they perceive that and they feel that, and they start to feel pressure to win, so they get better interactions and outcomes. They may not be able to say it, but you can just picture that. Like, you want your parents happy, you want the excitement afterwards. And if they're upset afterwards because you have a loss, even if it's for all good reasons and you have nothing against the kid, they're going to feel that and impact it. So you have to please treat your child and have the same response after wins and losses, independent of what's going on.
Yeah, and on the wins and losses side, folks, and it was hard for me as a competitive guy, probably hard for you, every match has a 50-50 probability outcome. You're either going to win or somebody's going to lose. And so that's the way your brain should start every athletic event, because there somebody's going to lose, and it might be you. There's a good chance, 50% chance. Dr. Eddie O'Connor, sports performance psychologist. You can find him on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Sports Project Radio Show.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.